certainly appreciate each and every one that's come out to the Lord's house tonight. Appreciate what we've been able to feel thus far. We hope and pray that each and every one is here to serve the Lord. And as we've seen and heard the testifying and the good words and the and edification of the church, and it's good to hear and see the results. The brother's talking about those being saved, and that's good to hear. We should be joyful in that.
Amen.
It's got good singing here, and we appreciate that. That's a gift given from God, and I believe that. And thankful for the piano player and the Brother Larry leading the singing. So it's good. It's good. It helps the service. So we've had a message that's been put on us and been dealing with for several weeks, knowing we were going to get to come this way, and we appreciate the church allowing us an appointment to come and preach, and thankful that you welcome us and our family in, and I'm thankful, I want to say, for home church, go to 10 Bethany, and we're thankful for them coming and supporting me. That means a whole lot, I tell you. As a young novice preacher and scared to death and dreading every time you have to stand, seems like, and just the nervousness of it helps to know you got people that love you to come and back in. I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful for that today. If you've got your Bibles with you, we'll turn to the book of Ephesians. In the 6th chapter, this is Paul writing here to the church in Ephesus. In the 6th chapter, book of Ephesians here in the 10th verse. And y'all pray for me now. There's a lot of thoughts the Lord's given me. And with his help, we'll try to be as a mouthpiece, as the brother said. And maybe it'll land on the ears that need to hear it. In the 10th chapter, or in the 6th chapter, 10th verse, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And with the mistakes I've made, that's the 10th verse through the 20th verse, the 6th chapter book of Ephesians. And we've got a thought here that comes out of this reading. And it's, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And as it describes the whole armor of God, the thought that we had that was along with this reading, the thought we had is, we look back over all the years. We look back on into the Old Testament, and we think about how many times that God has delivered his children. And we think about how many times they were always the underdog. We think about how many times that they were always outnumbered. And the first thought that we had went into Moses there as he's leading those children out of Egypt. And And I know this is a reading that's familiar to each and every one in here. I'm sure the children even know this great story. But it's in here for a reason, because it has such symbolism to us as God's children today. And as Moses there, and God made a way for him. There was about 600,000 of them, I believe the Bible tells us. And they were there in bondage, of course, with the Egyptians. And God made a way for them. God made a way for them as Moses went. And of course, he hardened the Pharaoh's heart. And I'm not going to read into the whole scripture, just hit the high notes here. He hardened Pharaoh's heart and caused all the plagues and the frogs and the river to turn to blood. And as Pharaoh finally says, "You people got to get out of here." And the Lord had used his power in order to do so. I had no doubt in my mind the Lord could have scooped those people up. He could have landed them over in this other land. But there were some things they needed to go through before he done so. And I'm thankful for that, because there's some great symbolism in this. There's some great stories and lessons in this. And as old Moses went and the Lord instructed him what to do, I believe the Bible says they could have went out through Philistine. It would have been a pretty easy path. That would have been like us jumping on 52 out here and driving to Lafayette. But the Lord didn't want that. The Lord wanted them to go the hard way. Amen. The Lord sent them in through the wilderness there and sent them to cross the sea. Amen. Now you think of a people, and I can speak for that a little bit today as I stand up here, scared to death that I'll not please my God, scared to death that I'll say something wrong. Think about 600,000 people and their families there that we're fixing to cross this here sea. I want you to just picture that. And as the Lord caused the wind there on that sea, and no doubt, think about how hard of a wind it'd have to be to part waters. Yeah. Think about how hard of a wind it would have to be to move water to make a dry bed for these people to walk across. Yeah. Yeah. Bible describes the walls of water there, and how these people they took off, and I believe it says their herds went with them too. And think about this group of people going across this here water. And I'm going to circle back around to this here just a minute on our thought. And we think, and as they traveled across, what did the Egyptians do? The Egyptians done told them to get on and go. They came right after them, didn't they? Amen. They sent 600,000 chariots, I believe, after them is how the Bible reads. But guess what? They didn't harm the children of Israel. Amen. They were delivered once again by God Almighty. They had the armor of God protecting them. There's no doubt those chariots and those Egyptian soldiers, these people were in bondage. I don't believe that they probably had weapons. I don't believe they probably had all the weapons that the Egyptians had. And I don't know that, but I don't believe they did. I believe they had one greater than every weapon in the world. Amen. And that was God Almighty. They were armored up, see? They had that coat of armor on them that God Almighty was going to deliver them. Now, just like we are today, if you fast forward, you look at all the conflicts that we've been in. Here in America, how we even got here to have the freedoms that we have today, to stand up here and openly preach the Word of God. It came with a price, sure it did, but it also came with the protection of God Almighty. God Almighty delivered us. If we were a bunch of Satan worshipers, we wouldn't be where we're at today. God Almighty saw fit to arm us in a way spiritually that we could carry this book, carry this Word, to right here where we're at today. And I believe that with all my heart. You fast forward and as Moses and those children were delivered on, and you go on through the Old Testament there, and how many great stories there are of how God has delivered his people. And probably one of the more popular story would be when you got David, little old David, the shepherd boy. He slew this great big giant. And you children, you know this story. And how he went unto for the battle there. And I just want to read what they did here. Y'all bear with me. I'm going to tie this together, Lord's help. And this is after David's come to the front of it here. And it says over in the 17th chapter of Samuel, about the 38th verse, it said, And Saul armed David with his armor. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go, and he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. See, David didn't need a coat of armor. He didn't need a great sword. He had God Almighty that was going to take care of that giant. It maybe went on down into the brook there and gave him 5 foot smooth stones, and he had his sling, and he knew exactly what he was supposed to do, because I believe God showed him exactly what he was supposed to do. Little old David boy, and let's think about how outnumbered he would have been. How in bondage that we were, and how outnumbered that they were with this great giant. Nobody in this world would have believed that he could have slew that giant, but he did, because he had the armor of God protecting him. We think about, we go on down. These were thoughts that come to us. We've been studying on. And you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's how they were calling upon their Lord. And oh, Nebuchadnezzar, me and my daughter were reading this the other night. She wanted to read a little. I said, well, let's find us a story and read it. And this was one of them. And it was one that already had on her heart. And thank God that he gives us things time to time. But you know, they were put into that fiery furnace. And I believe the Bible says that it burned up the men that even put them in there. But not a hair on their body was singed. Now tell me that they didn't have the armor of God upon them. Tell me that when they come out of that furnace, and I believe though Nebuchadnezzar says, I see but four in there. I tell you who the fourth one was. That was our Lord God Almighty. And they were armored now. They had armor on them. We see these armored trucks out in the world. Let me tell you, that's nothing. A nuclear weapon, a missile, a gun will take care of them. If you've got God's armor on you, there's nothing in this world that'll be able to touch you. Amen. I think about it on a personal level. Thankful to be a child of God today. Amen. I'm thankful Amen. That He saved my soul when I was 15 years old. I'm thankful for that time and a place that He takes me back to, the altar there in Lafayette about right here. Yeah. I'm thankful that night I walked out and I looked up at the stars and I knew something had changed in this old boy's heart. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful that as a child of God, at 34 years old, that I've got the Lord protecting me. I've got the Lord that's armed me as I walk through this world. Because I'm going to tell you, there's been a time in my life, as many of you all can say too, that I haven't been doing God's will. And it ain't even very far back for me, I can tell you that. And I think about, as we read in our reading there, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The verse right above that says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And when you look up the reference there on wicked, that talks about the devil. Devil's a wicked one in this world. Amen. Those fiery darts, brothers and sisters, they get thrown at us every day out in this world. Amen. I was at a meeting in Nashville this week, and I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful that I get to be in a group of bankers, and I was looking out over the crowd there, and there's about 500 probably in this hall, this ballroom with a speaker up there, and I thought, I wonder how many of them have been saved. Amen. I never thought about that before. Never had those thoughts before. Thought about how many of them been saved. And we were there downtown, and I'm going to tell you, you don't have to get very far, probably from this church house, to find everything in this world that is corrupt, and everything in this world that'll steer you in the wrong direction, and everything in this world that'll take your mind and heart off our Lord and Savior. I know, because I've been there and I've done it. I know that the Lord allowed me to do a few things so that one day I could stand up here or at another pulpit somewhere and have an experience to tell about, and have a testimony to tell about, that I've lived and seen a few things, to know that I can help maybe one person in this world and try to avoid a few things I've done. And I can tell you, with the armor of God around me, as an adult, as a saved person, I can try to shield a few of them fiery darts in this world. But it's not easy. Y'all know it ain't easy. Amen. Get out in the world and Lord help. And He called me out about 4 years ago to do His work. I thought, Lord help, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. But He showed me what He's going to do if I didn't do it. And I'm thankful that He chose me. But it's not an easy job. It's not a fun job. But it's got blessings and rewards. And one day I may never see them down here. But if I will work as hard as I can for my Lord to do His will, I know that He'll take care of me and my little family sitting right back there. God help us today. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Lost person today, if you're here. If you're here, you're unprotected from the devil. The devil is in this world, and the devil is here to pull you. The devil's here to destroy you. The devil's here to take you and send you to a place called hell. Hell is as real today as it is when God created it. Hell's as real today as it'll be when the Lord comes back and throws the sheep on this side, on the right side, and the goats on the left side. Now, the devil is pulling you today. You need to listen to what God says. God, if you're lost and undone, He'll put a knocking on your heart when you realize that. Because He did me. I'm telling you from experience. This is not something I've read. It's in there, but I'm telling you from experience. When you come under conviction of an almighty God, you're going to know it. Yeah. Nobody else will know it. Brother Jeff won't know it. Brother Brad won't know it. Brother Larry won't know it. But you're going to know it. Yeah. When the Lord's knocking on your heart, that's the time you move.
Amen.
If He's wanting you to bow down and pray, that's what you need to do.
Amen.
If He's wanting you to come to this altar, that's what you need to do. If He wants you to go in the parking lot, that's what you need to do.
Amen.
If the Lord's drawing nigh unto you, you draw nigh unto the Lord. And you pray that He'll save your soul. If you've not been saved, you don't have this armor of God that Paul's writing about right here. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day. The evil day is when, I take that as when the Lord comes back. And He says it's over and it's finished. It's going to be like throwing them light switches down. It's over right then. There's not going to be time left for a lost soul to seek the Lord. There's not going to be time left. You say, hang on, whoa, 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 whoa. Let me get this right. Today's the day of salvation, and you need to be praying right now, seeking the Lord for the salvation of your soul. And when He saves your soul, you've got the armor of God available unto you. You've got the power in the Spirit of God. It talks about that sword there. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
You see, when He saves you, you've got that sword.
Amen.
You've got that sword. He gives us a few weapons as saved people. As a child of God, we have a few weapons we can use. We've got our shield of faith that He's talking about right here. We can get ready to get some of them darts away from us that the devil's going to throw. We've got the sword of the Spirit now. I believe we can use a testimony. I don't just take a preacher up here preaching the word. These testimonies we heard have an effect too.
Amen.
They have a great effect.
Amen.
The Lord didn't just make a church for a preacher to come into. He made a church for the members of the church.
Amen.
He set them in it as He saw pleased. When you get this whole armor of God as a saved individual, another one of our weapons we have is the power of prayer.
Amen.
How many stories in this great book does it talk about they went to prayer? Or that so-and-so prayed unto the Lord? How many times have they used that word? I don't know. I'm sure there's a book. Tell me. I haven't even thought about looking that up. But to pray. There is no doubt in my mind that if the people in this building would sincerely pray for lost people, and we would truly get a burden. I'm not talking about we're just going to pray a little, we're going to get up. If we truly get a burden for lost people, we fight in a spiritual battle. That's what it says right here. If we'll get a burden for these lost people, they'll move. They'll move. They won't be able to stand it. The power of God and the Spirit of God to come in a house, and I've seen it work a few times. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I've got to see that. I'm thankful. I'm like back on a revival, and some of you from Bethany know the one I'm talking about. We had them praying over here, and they were shouting over here and singing over here. And pretty soon, the fruits were being shown as there was lost souls being saved. And I know y'all had a few here, I'm sure, like that. But the power of prayer, that's in our arsenal as God's children. That comes along with this, with the armor of God, and I'm thankful for that. You see, as we look on into it, Paul, on an individual basis, he says, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. If you've got the Spirit of God back in the words coming out of your mouth, the Spirit of God, the Spirit and the truth of God's Word, they can't anything stop that. There'll not be anything that'll go against that. No devil will, sure, sure. But Paul, he prayed there that he can speak boldly.
Amen.
And that takes God's help to be able to proclaim the truth.
Amen.
The truth of this word, undefiled, unmolested by man. Well, that's not popular these days now. You might hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Honey, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to cut your own heart.
Amen.
If you're lost and undone today, the word of God is going to hurt you a little bit.
Amen.
For godly sorrow worketh repentance.
Yeah.
Godly sorrow worketh repentance. I'm thankful that I got offended when I was a young boy.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I was offended in my heart. But you know what? I wasn't looking to sue somebody because I knew the one that offended me, and that was God. Because I'd offended him.
Amen.
God Almighty. Lord, help us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
Amen.
Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That sound like today? That sound like the world we live in today? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Y'all listen to this verse right here. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand.
Amen.
Go on down to the next verse. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, there's three instances there when the Lord tells us to stand. That come on me so strong, I looked up the definition of stand.
Amen.
As a verb uses, it's have or maintain an upright position. Obviously, I'm standing. Y'all are sitting. As a noun, it's an attitude toward a particular position taken in an argument. If you're right, you better stand on it.
Amen.
We're a persuader of the truth as God's people, the Lord's church. When Jesus was over in the temples, and he, of course, had those scribes and Pharisees, no doubt, boy, them men were smart now. I'm telling you, they were sharp. But the Lord was in there telling them something about they hadn't studied on, because he was talking spiritually. They believed it carnally.
Amen.
He was spiritually. Now, that's hard to probably fathom as people that that's all you've ever known. What do you mean we're going to throw out this old law? We'll throw out the old law, and now we got something new? They couldn't fathom that. But where to stand, church? Paul was writing to the church here in Ephesus. He was telling them to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on a breastplate of righteousness. Next verse says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, Larry's got a horse. I know that. He's my neighbor. When you put shoes on that old horse, that makes it where he can travel on some stuff other than the pasture that he stays in. Now, where's God's people? In the Lord's church, I believe, is where he's directing this. We're to have our feet shod. Now, if we're going to travel on and bring the word as it was intended to be, we're going to have to go through some things. We're going to have to go down some roads that's probably not paved like this one right out here.
Amen.
We're going to have our feet shod with the gospel of the peace. Feet shod with the gospel of the peace. He didn't promise it's going to be an easy road. We read the Trail of Blood and all the literature where God's people were killed, where they were murdered, where they were persecuted for what they believed in, which was the truth of God's word. And we think about, how'd they have their feet shod? Lord, we couldn't do it in a pair of muck boots.
Amen.
And they were probably doing it in a pair of old leather boots or leather sandals now. But you know what? They had one on their side. They didn't fear man. Preacher said that this morning.
Amen.
He didn't fear man. They feared God.
Amen.
And as long as they had this armor of God upon them, they didn't care what man thought.
Okay.
And one of the blessings that I've got out of many that when he called me up to preach, I had a few hard nights. I'm going to tell you, you know that, Brother Jeff and Brother Barry, Brother Brad, and those of you that's been called out here. I tell you one thing that's been the biggest blessing of all is I don't fear man. I don't fear anyone in this world. I don't care what military they're in. Because I know I answer to God Almighty.
Amen. That's right.
When you've got the armor of God upon you, there is nothing in this world. There's not a nuclear weapon. There's not a handgun, rifle, an army tank that can harm you if God is protecting you.
Amen.
And I truly believe that. I believe that tonight. Because there's enough of stories and testimonies and examples in this book where God has protected His people.
Amen.
But you got to do a few things before He's going to do that.
Amen.
See, we've got to line up. It didn't just say, I'm going to protect you and you can go do what you want. It says here, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. That's a requirement. He's telling them. You got to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth of God's word, the very doctrines that we hold, that's been handed down to us by those that were persecuted, by those that were killed, the very doctrines that we hold, that's what we're to stand on.
Amen.
And we're not to waver. There's no room to waver. And I've said this, I guess, probably nearly every time I've stood. I was not raised this way. I was raised in as modern of a church as you can get. Okay? I was raised up at the Methodist Church in Lafayette. And I'm not talking bad about them. They're nice people. But they don't know the truth about God's Word. And the reason they don't know the truth about God's Word is because they haven't been told the truth. Somebody down the line made some changes, didn't they? Somebody down the line did not stand on the truth of God's Word. And listen, I don't hate those people.
Amen.
And us as Baptist people, we better be careful about that.
Amen.
We're to have a little love in our heart.
Amen.
That book tells us all about that.
Amen.
I remember, I can remember a woman coming down as a preacher. Now this is not far from here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, children, y'all listen up now. The wiles of the devil, are in our county right here. It's our job to help teach you. It's the church's job. I'm not going to say us. It's the church's job. We're just lucky and fortunate to be a part of her to teach you about the things that are in this world that are considered the wiles of the devil. These here fiery darts that this book talks about. Listen now. Thanks be unto God that I've avoided a few of them. Thanks be unto God He saw fit that He worked through my mom and daddy. They had control over me as a child where I went. Thanks be unto them. But they loved me enough that they saw that I needed something.
Amen.
They saw I needed salvation.
Amen.
Now listen, I feel strongly about this because I've been it. I've experienced it.
Amen.
I've experienced this.
Amen.
I've been to every little Bible school. I've made everything you can make out of popsicle sticks. I've had every snack. I've sang every song, played every game. But I'm going to tell you, when I was a 13-year-old boy and that old preacher man, I guess I called him that, I don't know what he was, took us back, about four of us, into this little Sunday school room and told us, we were 13 now, and we need to make a decision on, are we going to live for God or not? And if we're going to live for God, then, we need to be baptized. Well, there was three different ways we could baptize you. And I'm not making fun. I'm telling you the truth of an experience that happened to me. We can sprinkle you, we can pour you, or we can bring our big bucket in there and dunk you down in it. I was 13 years old, never heard the truth of God's word, but I had enough horse sense about me to think, well, that ain't going to do nothing to me.
Amen.
How's that supposed to do anything? You never got taught anything about salvation.
Amen.
I remember one time growing up, one little old lady, and she may know the truth. One little old lady, she's about 90-year-old, I guess, at that time when I was a boy. And I remember her standing up one time, about like Brother Roland. She had her old hand up in the air and them tears running down her eyes. Now, she may have had us out. She may have had a testimony.
Yeah.
That's the only time I ever saw anything that might have had a fruit about it in that place. And listen, I'm not talking bad about them. I'm telling you a story about a real experience happened to me.
Yeah.
Wasn't long after that, here come a woman walking down the aisle, going to preach to us.
Yeah.
If you don't think that the world will get into a church, brothers and sisters, you just get right up the road here.
Right.
You get too far from here, it gets even wilder than that. We got churches won't even stand against homosexuality.
Amen.
Okay, bring them on in. Let them take part. Hey, we love their soul.
Amen.
We hate their sin, okay?
Amen.
That's our job, not to hate them.
Amen.
Hey, I'm guilty. guilty. I've said bad things about them. Hey, I need to say the same thing about a drunkard. I need to say the same thing about an adulterer. I need to say, oh.
That's right.
If we don't stand, we've got to stand. Amen. We've got the armor of God. Amen. It's for us to use it. It's for the church to use it.
Amen.
It's for us to stand on God's word. Amen. If you start wavering, it'll start showing in our churches. Lord, help our churches today. We're divided as I believe I've ever known it or heard of it or read about it. It's man. Man's the one that's done it. Man's the one that started it. Man's the one that's done it. The devil. The old devil. The wiles of the devil. Somebody left their armor off. They let it creep into the little old church and then it went viral now. Now it's got to where we can't even talk or see each other in the grocery store. We're divided. Listen, we're God's people, we're God's children.
Amen.
We need to come together.
Amen.
And there ain't no man or woman or child or anybody that can fix it on their own.
Amen.
God Almighty will have to be the leader. God Almighty will have to show us a few things. But we're going to have to want it bad enough before He's going to bring us all back together.
Amen.
Lord, help us today. Let's put on the armor of God.
Yeah.
Let's put on the armor of God. Sister had a good testimony back here.
Amen.
God help you that. This week, I no doubt, last couple of weeks have been terrible for you.
Yeah.
But guess what? You had the armor of God come into play. I was sitting right up here thinking about that. I thought, ooh, we hope that fit right into the thought,
amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Help her, Lord. God, help her, Lord.
Yeah.
That's our feeble attempt today. I'm done. I'm not going to carry on. That's the Lord's done with me. I appreciate your attendance. If you're lost and separated from God, get up here on this altar or bow down at your seat. But you make you an altar today. You need the armor of God upon you.
Amen.
Listen, the devil's in this church house. You don't have to get out the door.
Amen.
That devil, he can be sitting right beside you. He sat beside me a whole lot. He stood right here with me before. Lord help. He's here today and trying to pull me. Said I've said too much already. But God help today that we find the armor of God and we use it. And we stand, church.
Amen.
Brother Jeff, Brother Larry, give us a song.